In case you haven't noticed, Wisconsin's tourism industry is booming, and we want to know why. As well, we want to know what the ramifications are for the folks who live here in Wisconsin. I'm Lee Rayburn. This is The Lee Rayburn Show, and our guest today is the Secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, Ann Sayers. If you have questions for her about tourism, its economic impact, what that means for the great outdoors, you can join us. If you've got a getaway that you'd like to share with us, or maybe you'd like to share one of your hidden spaces that you wish more people would visit, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can always send us an email to talk@WPR.org. And Secretary Sayers, welcome back to WPR News.
Hi, Lee. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you being here because last month the governor's office announced that we'd set yet another record for tourism in Wisconsin. Can you give us a big picture of what those numbers are?
Yes, we are so excited to say that tourism continues to boom here in Wisconsin. It was a $27 billion industry in 2025, and it means a couple different things. One, we grew at a rate of 4.4%, so that's outpacing inflation by quite a bit. It means that it's genuinely growing on its own. We did that with a record-breaking number of visits. We had 117.9 million visits to Wisconsin last year. That's really a lot. And actually, we broke records both in terms of day trips and overnight trips. And we always love to see that with overnight trips because an overnight visitor actually spends about three times more than a day visitor, which is good for our economy. And, you know, speaking of that, I think we're probably going to have a lot of fun talking about tourism today because tourism is a lot of fun. But it's this piece about being big business that I always like to mention because when people come from out of state, spend their money here and they leave those tax dollars behind, it generates tax dollars that decision makers can use to solve the problems. They're always telling us, right, that we have more things they want to do than tax dollars to solve it with. Well, tourism is $1.7 billion in local and state taxes, and a lot of that money is coming from non-residents. So it's just a really great economic revenue generator for the whole state of Wisconsin. And as residents, we benefit from that, right? It helps fix our roads and improve our schools. So that's what's really important about the kinds of economic impact that we're talking about today.
What are the reasons behind this growth and year after year records for tourism in Wisconsin as you see it, Secretary Sayers?
Well, I think there's a whole bunch of reasons we can get into, but one is just because Wisconsin is awesome. And we're very fortunate to have decision makers on both sides of the aisle who understand that and are committed to tourism as economic development. So they've invested in the Department of Tourism and supported our entire industry. We're 183,000 people employed by tourism in Wisconsin. And we can't attract visitors, especially in a really crowded environment where people, you know, vacation days are precious, vacation dollars are precious. In order to attract those visitors to Wisconsin, we have to be in front of them. We have to be doing the promotion. So we have been enabled to do that by decision makers, and that has made a huge difference for us. But we're also able to sell what Wisconsin has. And what we're finding is tourists love what we offer in terms of outdoor recreation. I mean, here we are, two Great Lakes, a mighty Mississippi River, more than 15,000 inland lakes, nearly 50% covered by forest. I mean, we have it all. We also have events, and that's been a huge driver. We see this year after year, just the number of events, how unique they are, how frequent they are, how impactful and large they can be and full of culture and our spirited nature. People love that, and it drives them to kind of book that trip that with a little more urgency. So those are two things, but certainly there's so much more. You know, our culinary heritage, our arts and culture, our unique places to stay, and the fact that there's just so much to do that everyone in your travel party is going to have a great time when you visit Wisconsin.
So when you say culinary heritage, it's more than just beer and brats?
No, it is beer and brats. That's not wrong, but it's not the whole story, as we all know. We're so proud of you know, we always say we've been doing farm to table so long, we just call it eating.
Yeah.
And we express that in every single way here in Wisconsin, just all of these award-winning chefs and restaurants who are doing unique things with what we're growing right here that makes us so special. So yes, it's the beer and the cheese, but it's also cranberries and other fruit and meats and interesting drinks and spins on desserts and all the ways that we're kind of expressing who we are and how we do things here in Wisconsin.
Secretary Sayers, I do have to ask you where these numbers come from. It's not like we're counting people as they cross the Illinois border into Wisconsin. How do you figure out what this economic impact is and assign dollars to them?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, which is why we have somebody else do it, because it's quite complicated. There's kind of a gold standard of measuring tourism economic impact, and it's through Oxford Economics. It's a division of Oxford that does just tourism economics. And it's a variety of things from credit card data and more that tells us what's happening here in the state.
Is it possible that we could set a record in 2026? I mean, when I think back to last year, I remember the NFL draft bringing droves to the state of Wisconsin. What would it take for us to set a fifth year in a row record for the tourism industry?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're just so excited to celebrate 2025, but you're right. There were a number of reasons. Large events are part of it. And the NFL draft was absolutely incredible, like exceeded every expectation. I was there. It was just so cool, so amazing. But at the end of the day, it was probably the equivalent of a day and a half extra worth of tourism. It's about $74 million a day of business we're doing in tourism. So we can break records outside of major events too. So that's just something to keep in mind, that it's tourism is something that is happening in every single corner of this state. Every single county is contributing in a big way. It's happening every day. So, you know, I'm optimistic. We're looking, you know, folks are trying to stay a little bit closer to home this summer is a trend that we're seeing. And for Wisconsin, that's potentially a good sign. You know, we're situated right here between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and we make it very easy for folks to be able to come do a quick overnight or weekend trip in Wisconsin. So that's what we're looking to do.
I've got an email from Michael who asks, how does the growth of tourism increase the harm of greenhouse gas emissions? Does increasing tourism increase greenhouse gas emissions? So there is a larger question about whether or not tourism could negatively impact what the reason people come here to Wisconsin in the first place, our natural beauty, our habitat, our wildlife.
Yeah, you know, that's something that folks are always wanting to keep in mind. And we're really proud because Wisconsin has such a strong conservation heritage. It's such a big part of who we are. We actually have a program called Travel Green that allows tourism businesses to state the commitment that they've made to conservation while doing tourism, because so many visitors are actually pretty eco-conscious and they want to be traveling with their values on their sleeves. So the Travel Green program gives them an opportunity to align their itinerary or fill their itinerary with the types of businesses that are living their values. So that's one way that we're helping visitors to have a lower ecological impact as they continue to make memories.
Our guest is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, who have set another record for economic impact in 2025. They're fourth in a row now. Ann Sayers, our guest, and you can join our conversation with your questions about tourism in Wisconsin or your favorite places to visit at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us talk@wpr.org. Do we have a ballpark figure of how many jobs can be associated with our tourism industry, Secretary?
We do, and it's actually an area where we set a record last year. It's 183,000 full and part-time jobs. So those are our friends and neighbors who are employed one way or another through tourism. It's a very impressive number.
183,000 jobs in Wisconsin. I've got to imagine that's one of the biggest sectors in the state right now.
I'm actually not sure how it compares off the top of my head, but it is a really large sector. So it is not just summer, you know, teenagers and summer jobs, although we need that and we have that and we're proud of that. That's how I got my start, certainly. But it can evolve into, these are real career paths and real economic development for our state.
When we talk about the great outdoors in Wisconsin, something that is relatively new here is the Wisconsin Office of Outdoor Recreation. What's that office doing for Wisconsin?
We are so, so proud of the Office of Outdoor Recreation. It did not even exist until 2019 when the federal government began to track the economic impact of outdoor recreation. So we really had no sense of that before the mid around 2016. And when we saw just how big of an economic driver outdoor rec could be, that's when states started forming these offices to see what we could do to grow its impact. So here we are, we're 6 years into having the office. And it's really the hub of this entire industry. If you think about the manufacturing, the retailers, the outfitters, the trail builders and nonprofits, this is a huge economy that prior to having an office was just a little bit disjointed. And now we're saying this is how it can all connect. So whether we're literally connecting trails or connecting businesses and nonprofits to funding resources at the national, state, and local level, whether we're working together to build apps so people have an easier way to find their way outside, whether we're providing trainings for members of the outdoor recreation to better support those seeking these opportunities. There's so many ways that we can continue to grow this sector of the economy. And the office is just, it's really rocking. In fact, they announced that they have also broken a record now, $12 billion impact just out of outdoor recreation last year.
Wow. Secretary Sayers, I also want to ask about the Wisconsin Film Credit and whether or not that has had an impact yet that we've seen or if it is available.
Yes. So we were one of the last states to get a film office, but that just got locked in here at the beginning of the year. And it came with the ability to issue $5 million in tax credits. So applications are in and we're just getting going, Lee. So I can't give the full deets yet, but they're coming. They're coming. And this is really exciting because we see that filmmakers want to make their films here in Wisconsin and their TV shows. And we have a lot of talent in state that we want to make sure we retain. Having this film office, having these film credits gives those folks from that industry the ability to stay and build their careers here. And that is a really, really exciting development that's going to pay dividends for Wisconsin's tourism economy long term.
So for some, they could see it as, you know, well, we're giving money to the film industry. But for others, they can see that the money that we put in, there is an exponential number that comes out. And that seems to be what we've seen, at least with the increased investment in tourism in Wisconsin and the record-breaking economic impact numbers. So I'd be interested to see how this plays out in terms of what our return on investment is for tourism and filming in Wisconsin and what we could see next.
That's a great point, and it's something that we're going to keep a very close eye on. It's fantastic how the legislation is written. So it's a film tax credit, and it's really for those things that are happening in state.
Okay.
And what we see is this, it's a phenomenon that's called set jetting. And it's where folks are deciding to take their trips based on what they've seen on television.
Set jetting, not jet setting. It's set jetting.
Set jetting. So we saw this actually, you know, we hosted the 21st season of Top Chef recently.
Yes.
And that has resulted in people wanting to come to Wisconsin. They featured the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail. Mm-hmm. They featured the Miller Caves, the Brewers, and Door County Fish Boils and more. And people saw that and wanted to come experience it for themselves. So we are getting that set jetting impact. And again, just last year, we filmed A Cherry Pie Christmas up in Door County, kind of a feel good holiday movie. And that had an enormous impact on winter tourism, which is something we love to see happen, where people wanted to come experience, you know, real snow and real hot cocoa by the holiday tree and just like in the movie. And that's been very beneficial to the state. And those are the kinds of things we expect to continue as we support this film tax credit.
Let's go to your calls now, and we'll start with Frank in Springbrook, pardon me. Frank, hello.
Yeah, hi, Secretary. Say, I'm a semi-retired local reporter from Northern Wisconsin, and I've done a lot of articles over the years on tourism, and I've talked to past Secretary of Tourism. And one of the things I always bring out is that I always like point out to them, I grew up in Minnesota, and I know Minnesota really well. I grew up in the Great Plains. I know Northern Minnesota. And one thing I don't think Wisconsin does really good or could do better is help identify all the geographical features, the uniqueness that Wisconsin has in comparison to neighboring states. Because Wisconsin is really more like a Midwestern New Hampshire than it is like a Minnesota. The geography is very different. There's a lot of advantages in Wisconsin. I don't know if they really get played up. And let me give you an example. Okay, I live in Washburn County, but all the neighboring counties up here, the rural county roads are all paved. They're great for biking, but nobody's pointed that out. The bikers know it, but the people at large don't know things like that.
Frank, thank you for that. And how do we differentiate ourselves and highlight some of the, you know, like the paved roads in Washburn County that would be a draw? There's so many things to choose from. I think about the Lake Michigan shoreline, the golfing that in Kohler, Wisconsin, the Driftless area up and down the Mississippi, the Bald Eagles, Door County, the beauty of Ashland, romantic beauty of Ashland. There's so much to choose from. It's almost hard to pick what you can promote, Secretary Sayers.
Well, Lee, that was a great list. I couldn't agree more. And Frank, I totally understand what you're saying. And it's something that we see as our assignment, right? In tourism, we don't want well-kept secrets. We want to make sure people know why we are special and different. And we have seen in the data for folks who are not familiar with the Midwest or the Great Lakes region, in their mind, a Michigan, a Minnesota, an Illinois, a Wisconsin, it can all blend together. And we all know that's not the case. There's something extremely special about Wisconsin. So that is, honestly, it's priority number one to make sure potential visitors understand why this is so very special. I agree with you on the roads. Another really important point that we're trying to make the most of right now is gravel biking. This is something that actually visitors internationally are seeking, gravel roads. We have some of the best in the entire world for gravel biking. So the Office of Outdoor Recreation has been really shining a light on that. And a big part of what they do is just amplifying the product that we already have. I hope you'll see some improvement in that area over time.
Frank, thank you for the call. Also, this email from Gary, Secretary Sayers. Is our biggest competition for tourism the big cities of Chicago and Minneapolis or the more rural areas of Minnesota and Michigan, in your opinion?
Oh, it's such a good question. And kind of both. And I think that's because we have both of those things. We can compete in both areas, right? We have big urban areas that visitors are seeking, but also in that same trip, you can kind of escape. You can get to a Great Lakes shorefront, or you can get to a charming downtown and take in a local cultural festival. We have it all. So when we go in front of a visitor with our advertising in those markets, we're trying to show them that, especially for families, that we have something for everyone. You can have a rockin' good time in the Dells, in the water park capital of the world, but you can also escape into something a little quieter if that's what you're looking for, or really learn from a local chef, or interact with the local tribe. And a lot of times people tell us that's what they want. They want all of it, and they want it all conveniently and affordably. And, you know, that's what we can do.
And with something that I would say would be unique to something apart from Chicago and Minneapolis is you can be at Summerfest and really get away to nature within just a few miles. You don't have to go very far to get rural and urban and everything you're looking for in one fell swoop in Wisconsin. With Chicago, that's quite a long drive with quite a bit of traffic.
I mean, that is exactly right. And sometimes we tell folks, even like an international visitor, you could fly into O'Hare and be tucked into your little bed in Milwaukee faster than you can be in downtown Chicago. So don't let those state lines, you know, block your thinking about how to interact with Wisconsin.
You mentioned our native tribes here, and one of the things that is missing, as I understand it, from our economic impact is the economic impact of our Native Nations of Wisconsin, Secretary.
That's right. So our 11 federally recognized tribes are huge contributors to Wisconsin's tourism economic impact, but their data is held privately, which makes a lot of sense. And so it's not something that we can exactly include in our data, just given the different mechanisms for collecting that data. But we do always want to recognize that this is extremely important. What's being offered, from cultural celebrations to museums and culinary opportunities, of course, casinos and hotels. There is really a lot happening with our 11 federally recognized tribes, and it's something that's of great appeal to Wisconsin travelers.
Yeah, and a point of pride for us in Wisconsin. William emailed to specifically promote the National Scenic St. Croix River as a Wisconsin destination, and I admit I have not been, Secretary Sayers.
Oh, I'm a big fan. I'm so glad you pointed that out. We are very lucky to have a number of federally recognized, nationally recognized trails and waterways. You know, there are only 11 national trails in the entire country.
Whoa.
Wisconsin has two, the North Country and the Ice Age. So you're right. We need to keep making sure people understand how very unique it is, what we have here in Wisconsin.
Let's go back to your calls now, where Carrie and Jefferson standing by. Carrie, hello.
Howdy. Just a couple of questions. First off, regarding the benefits of tourism, if you're not a business owner and you're just like an hourly employee with a local county agency or something, how does that person, how do I benefit from tourism in Wisconsin? And also, I'd like to know, what are the effects of the legislature failing to renew the Knowles-Nelson Act?
Two good questions for somebody who's not in the tourism industry. How do they benefit from tourism in Wisconsin, Secretary Sayers?
Well, I'm so grateful for that question because it brings up my favorite data point. We have a lot of data points over here, but my very favorite one is that every household in Wisconsin would need to pay an additional $692 a year in order to maintain the same level of government services, if not for the revenue that tourism is generating into our state.
What's that number again?
$692.
Man.
So it's just bringing money into the coffers, both in form of local and state taxes that decision makers are using to solve the problems that they see to address the concerns that voters are telling them. So our job is just to bring that revenue in, and that $692 per household, that's a substantial amount, and we're all benefiting from that.
What about Carrie's question about the loss of the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund?
Yeah, this is a very important point because, as I mentioned, outdoor recreation and events are always kind of tied in that top spot as the number one reason people want to come to Wisconsin. And having beautiful places to visit is really important. And certainly the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund was part of securing those places over time. So yeah, there are questions about what that means for going into the future. Here at the Department of Tourism, our job is really just to promote what exists. So we'll certainly keep pushing and sharing for potential visitors just how special what we have is.
Devin Trempolo emailed to say she used to work in tourism and decided she did not want to advertise Wisconsin and the good that we have here. She says, be careful what you wish for. There's a point where tourism can be overdone. Look at Europe, she says. There are countries there that are saying, we're tired of you using our natural resources. We can't find any parking spaces. You are using our bathrooms and many times not contributing to the economy. And I have seen these signs, tourists go home. How do we balance that out in Wisconsin?
Such a good question. And it's something that I think both, you know, us in the tourism, as tourism professionals, but also as residents, we want to all be very, very sensitive to. We don't want to see that, of course. We want to grow in a way that is sustainable for our resources and our economy and our residents. So there are whole schools of thinking developing around the tourism industry about how to do sustainable tourism. And I would say in Wisconsin that we're off to a really good start. And it begins with making sure that the resident sentiment is part of how we think about developing the product over time. So it's certainly just a sensitivity that we need to use as we grow. And it's actually, I think it's, I really love this part of the work, actually. It's a challenge, but it means great places to visit should be great places to live. And so how do we balance those two interests? And there is a way it can be done. And I think in a lot of ways, Wisconsin is a shining example of that. And I think that's kind of in part because it's who we are, right? We founded Earth Day, home of Aldo Leopold and John Muir and so many more. It's kind of in our DNA to be thinking this way. And I'm really, really proud of Wisconsin's tourism industry for continuing to lead with that in mind.
Secretary Sayers, I want to thank you as always for joining us, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Same, Lee. Take care.
You as well. Our Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, Ann Sayers, joining us today on the Lee Rayburn Show. And when we continue, we'll be taking a look more at one of the Governor's Destinations of the Year awards. This is, you know, the American Birkebeiner, but did you know that its starting point is now a year-round destination? We'll get the details when we continue. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to WPR News.